Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Welcome into hour two of Sports Talk. A gorgeous day out here in New Orleans. Not so much at College Station. That's where LSU baseball is. You heard in the sports flash. Game time's been pushed back. No longer a 6 o'clock first pitch for game one against the Aggies. That's now 8 p.m. 7:30 pregame coverage right here on WWL AMFM.com. And the Odyssey app. Looking around, some of the things going on in sports. We got, you know, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Thought it was interesting. We got Haley Van Lith and Angel Reese back in the PMAC tonight. Why, you may say? There's a preseason WNBA game between the Chicago Sky and the Brazil national team taking part there. And both Angel Reese and Van Lith are now teammates again in Chicago. So good to see at least you know, both of them back in the PMAC this evening.
Party.
Little shout out to women's basketball.
Yeah. No, good stuff.
The LSU Tigers, like I mentioned, they're in College Station, the baseball team, and that game is an 8 o'clock start. We've been talking about the NFL draft too in the earlier segments and what the Saints have done. Looking forward to getting a glimpse of these guys this coming week as rookie minicamp will start Friday for the Saints. And, you know, much of the talk, you know, you mentioned the first round pick for the Saints with Kelvin Banks Jr., but it's really been about the quarterback. And because it is the most important position throughout the NFL, it's no surprise that Tyler Shuck's been getting a ton of the press and the pub. And it was great, though, seeing him around, saw that he stopped by Drago's, had some char-grilled oysters, been talking about his new, what's going to be his number two also with the Saints. Can't have number nine. That's what he was in college. So I know he mentioned, I think, 6 and 18 he was looking at picking.
Yeah, and Thomas Morstead said, you can wear 6. Go for it,
kid. Love the fact, too, Thomas Morstead is such a NOLA dude, even though he hasn't played here forever now.
Yeah.
But definitely a part
away,
of the Saints community still.
And stuff,
right,
still,
exactly.
Like, yeah. No, I think 6 would be a good number. You know, numbers in a lot of instances aren't that big of a deal. Like, yeah, whatever, pick a number. Who cares? For the quarterback, it does. Like, if you're going to be a big-time quarterback, if you're going to be a franchise quarterback, like the quarterback that teams look at and say, you're our dude, the number is important, right? Like, I don't know, because people are going to buy that jersey, right? Like, if your third-round wide receiver shows up and, you know, Tre'Quan Smith, what number did he wear, 10? Like, it doesn't matter because no one's buying Tre'Quan Smith's jersey. No offense to Tre'Quan out there.
Now Brandon Cooks has 10.
Does he?
Yeah.
He has 10 again? Okay. But, like, that's my point. It's like, for the quarterback, I don't know, like, it feels important. It feels like it's got to look right. It's got to look right. I don't want my quarterback wearing like 26. I don't know.
I thought it was interesting too because he mentioned 18. I'm like, wait a minute, that's Spencer Rattler. But Spencer has switched to number two now.
Yeah. Apparently that's the backup quarterback number.
I'm number two.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying. well, Jameis wore number two. So that was my point. But, you know, I was thinking about this. Like, realistically speaking, if Derek Carr has surgery, he doesn't play.
Right.
I actually think, And I think Tyler Shuck's going to be your starter. And, you know, I was thinking about this, like, as far as backup quarterbacks go, the Saints aren't really in a position where they could afford to pay a veteran back. Like, when Andy Dalton was here and you were paying him, like, $8 million. Like, that's an expensive backup. relative to what you could pay, which is almost nothing, right? A minimum salary. If you're going that route, like, I feel like Spencer Rattler is actually not a terrible option to be a backup quarterback, because the one time we saw him come in relief as a backup, which is what your primary job is, he played really well. In that Washington game where he came in, they were down, I don't know, double digits, and he rallied him back. They could have won that game. It came down to a 2-point conversion to win it. So I don't know. I think that quarterback room is actually in decent shape. It's just a question of, you know, what's the ceiling on Tyler Shuck? I think it's higher than people give him credit for. Lewis Riddick, if you want to listen to Lewis Riddick,
someone who loves Shuck, right?
If you are in the mood to get
positive,
to aboard the Tyler Shuck hype train while there are still plenty of seats, you could basically pick your car, pick your location, do whatever you want. You know, you could put in an order, get a drink, wait for everyone else to join you. The Tyler Shuck hype train is going to be filling up quickly if you're listening to Lewis Riddick. And I don't know. I think Lewis Riddick's a good analyst. I think he's, you know, one thing he pointed out, and Jeff Duncan wrote a really good column talking to Lewis Riddick, and, you know, one thing he points out is, like, so much of the analysis you hear Tyler Shuck is, like, so sophomoric and basic and never gets to the question, the basic question that we should all be trying to answer. Is he a good quarterback? You know, like, oh, but he's 25. That's not good. Oh, but he got hurt. Not at Louisville, Texas Tech. I don't like that. Okay. Anything else? Nah, that's all I need to know. Like, it's...
That's what everyone else is feeding me, so no, I don't have anything right. else.
Oh, I saw a couple clips on Twitter that
right.
got
retweeted. Two highlights.
Yeah. Low lights,
right.
Yeah, but, you know, I just think it's funny, and we'll see. When people go out there, I think they're going to be impressed. They're going to see Tyler Shuck, all 6'5" of Tyler Shuck towering over Spencer Rattler and Jay Kaner. He's going to look like he's older than them, too. He's just going to look like their big brother. I'm interested in seeing the reaction from people when they actually, like, go out to those practices and see him in person, because I think people are going to be impressed. I really do.
The way things have gone with Derek Carr, I think folks need to get excited about something, and hopefully Shuck can be that guy.
Right. Why have we gotten to the point we can't get excited? The part of being a fan is like, you can be critical. You do that. You get mad when things aren't going well. I get it. You expect a lot. You demand a lot. Yes. But there's also a level of, like, it's okay to be blindly optimistic at certain points of the season, right? Just say, like, okay, I'm excited. Until it gives me a reason to not be excited about it, I'm going to be excited. That's how I operate. Not everyone's like me. Not everyone's glass half full, right? Some people think there's a hole in the glass, and sometimes it feels like there is. But I don't know.
Just always mad.
Everyone should choose to fan however they want to fan, right? I'm just speaking about how my philosophy on fanhood is, like, okay, I'm going to be blindly optimistic right now, and then I'll be disappointed. But I have to be optimistic before I be disappointed.
Well, on the line, Jeff, we definitely got a longtime card-carrying member of the Who Dat Nation on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. James wants to sound off about the draft. What you got for us on this glorious Friday, James?
So I'm glad you guys brought up numbers, and happy Friday. Best way I can explain it, since I've been talking to you guys, is like this. Personally, I think I'm a halfway decent investor, and the number one rule in stock is never fall in love with your investment. You want to be able to buy and sell it. For that particular reason, that's why Loomis is at the very bottom of the GM in NFC South. Right above him is the guy that came from here. That's the guy. That's
Terry Fondo.
That guy. That's the former staffer. He invested everything for James Pierce, who is a volatile player. He will be a volatile stock. So you either win or lose. And if he loses, then he doesn't have a number one pick next year with Peyton Manning and a host of other guys. I kind of like the guy that was at Tennessee that moved to USC. But my point is, these are two stock guys that aren't doing it the right way. We are basically the falling knife if you follow the graphs and stocks. We're the falling knife. We got poor investments. Everything's going down. The volatile guy is the Atlanta Falcons, and the two above is basically Jason Light. He's number one because you know, if you look at the graph, 5 years in a row, it'll be the fifth year they win the division. He's making good investments. And then the linebacker, who I kind of like from Carolina, he's the guy that's making decent investments. He's helping his stock by getting a halfway decent wide receiver to help that midget, that quarterback. So until Loomis changes his philosophy or leaves, we're going to be at the very bottom. We're the fallen knight, fellas. It is what it is.
But here's the thing. So we can say that, but the Saints operated with a very different philosophy in this draft than they have in previous drafts.
Honestly, you look at Mickey Loomis's resume, and it's kind of stellar overall. I know folks don't want to hear that.
Yeah, you know, I also think it's like, okay, it's more than just Mickey. It's the scouting. It's the entire draft department, right? It's Jeff Ireland's group. But no, I mean, I do feel like you've seen the Saints make some adjustments this year. Like they've reset the trajectory a little bit. Now, whether that's a long-term change or a short-term change to, you know, kind of offset some of the misses of the last years, you saw them go for a lot of higher floor players, less boom potential, but less bust potential, right? You're looking at players who should be at minimum core special teams contributors in several of these mid-round picks.
Sure.
You're looking at guys who were highly productive in college, not, you know, the Shamar Stewart. That was the whole conversation about Shamar Stewart. He had four and a half sacks over 3 years at Texas A&M, but he has all the traits in the world.
Potential, baby.
Right? That's not what you went with, right? And, you know, you talk about linebackers, you talk about safeties. You know, you between Jonas Sanker and Danny Stutzman, you have over 400 tackles over the last 2 years in their respective environments at their respective programs. Danny Stutzman led the Big 12 in tackles 3 years ago as a sophomore. Devin Neal is the all-time leading rusher at Kansas, 16 touchdowns on the ground each of the last two seasons. So I think, you know, you not only made a ton of picks, did not trade up, did not sacrifice value that way, but you picked a lot of players who you know who they are. There's no question of what they can do when they're featured because they've all been featured.
That's what I've noticed about this draft as critical. Maybe that some analysts felt that the Saints reached a little too high in the first round with Banks or maybe even with Tyler Shuck in the second. I feel like those later selections for this team, though, a lot of folks do have that consensus of it being some really quality, you know, pieces you're bringing in here.
Yeah, and my point is, like, I'm all for being critical of the strategies and what has gotten you to this point, but I can't sit here and say they have done nothing differently, because one of my issues with the Saints, and I've said this to you many times, is they haven't gotten enough bites at the apple. They've been sacrificing too much value.
We got bites.
to target specific players, and then when those players don't hit, it feels even more damaging because you sacrificed opportunities. Like a sixth-round pick, Devin Neal has a chance to be a contributor on this team. Right, Maliki Matavau has a chance to have a significant role on this team as a blocking tight end. In the past drafts, you haven't even made those picks. Look at the Adam Trautman draft. You gave up the second half of your board to go up and get a guy that played 3 years for you and then you got rid of because it just didn't work. So, I don't know. Like I think there's positive things that were done in this draft that I think address some of the issues. So, we'll have to see how it plays out. But the idea that they're just not changing at all, they're just stubbornly doing the same thing over and over again, I don't think that's what happened.
As we head out to break right now, I want to remind anyone listening, LSU baseball now at 8 o'clock first pitch, 7:30 pregame right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're going to step away. When we get back, we'll hear what a former Saint has to think about some of these draft picks. Scott Shanley right here on WWL.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Back here on Sports Talk, we've been talking about the NFL draft. Still, was just a week ago. We already knew the Saints' first-round pick already and getting ready for day two of the draft. Gentlemen, it's kind of all a blur. It went by quickly, even though we had long days.
Yeah, well, it goes by quickly when you were
making nine selections.
Well, no, when you were working the entire time. There's not a lot of downtime where you can kind of relax and assess and think back on. You know, me and Charlie hosted two pre-draft shows on Friday and Saturday. I remember 2% of them. I don't know what I said. I don't know what points I made. I don't know whether I was right or I was wrong.
just words coming out.
Well, we did it. We did shows.
Looking at the... we had our draft recap show at the Silver Slipper Casino on Monday.
Yeah.
Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, along with Mike Dettillier, spoke with former Saint great Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champ. Asked him about a bunch of the Saints draft picks that we're going to get into now. Start off with, obviously, number one, Kelvin Banks Jr. What does Shanley think about the Saints' ninth overall selection?
Yeah, I think Sark's done a really good job at Texas. They not only recruit great players, but they have toughness. I think he's brought toughness to the program. It's no longer the soft Texas guys that you used to think of. And, you know, thinking back to last year, I remember watching a lot of Texas football, and Kelvin Banks stood out. And a lot of times offensive linemen don't stand out. But I remember seeing him thinking, wow, this guy is going to be a stud in the NFL. And I'm like a lot of fans. I was kind of torn at number nine, like, quit picking offensive line. You get sick of picking defensive linemen, offensive linemen every year. But when you look at it, tell me a better player at that spot who you feel like now you have two concrete guys at left tackle and right tackle. It's a hard thing to pass up on a guy like Kelvin Banks when he's sitting there at nine. Even if you trade back a couple spots, which I kind of wanted to do to grab more picks, there's no certainty he's going to be there anymore, because I think a lot of people had him really high on the boards. And, you solidify your left tackle and right tackle. That's more than probably 75% of the league can say. So you get those two positions taken care of, and now you can worry about the rest.
Scott Shanley talking about Kelvin Banks Jr., and like he mentioned, what did you think this team was going to do? I know, you look at some of the mock drafts, and even I was guilty of it, trying to pick a position player, and it was like, nah, they were sticking with trenches, folks, and you end up beefing up that offensive line even more.
Yeah, well, I know Scott got worked up a little bit. He was a little peeved.
I want a little different.
He was a little peeved when they took the offensive line. I mean, he pointed out that the Saints Super Bowl offensive line was not a bunch of first round picks. It was, I think Stinchcombe was the highest drafted. He was a second rounder, but it's just, the fact is, hey, you want to bring in a stud offensive lineman. You don't have a ton of money to throw around in the free agent market. This is where you find them. You find them in the first round. And, one thing that he brought up, and we don't have to get to the clip because we got a lot of clips to get through, but, he also brought up, like, okay, why is the run game coming back in the NFL? Why is that the power run game? You look at the Eagles, you look at the Packers, the Ravens. Like, why is that suddenly becoming a bigger thing? Well, it's because teams have adjusted to the pass-first mentality in the NFL. Linebackers are getting smaller. You don't play with three linebackers on the field. It's a nickel league now, so you got a lot of smaller guys. And so teams are deciding, hey, we are going to play too deep, and we are going to force everything underneath, and we're going to trust that you're not going to run the ball. Well, if you can run the ball, then okay, that's a huge advantage. But a lot of teams aren't willing to do that. Now, the other thing is, hey, we're going to play too deep. We're just going to go one-on-one. We're going to trust that our pass rushers are better than your offensive linemen. And teams don't want to be sending extra pressure when they have people sitting over the top. They don't have the bodies. Otherwise, you are going to run all over them. So if you can pass protect one-on-one on the edges, if you can pass protect without sending help every play because you're like, we don't trust Trevor Penning to hold up on one-on-one. We have to help him. We have to put someone over there because Micah Parsons is over there or whoever is on that side, and we have to help. If you don't feel like you have to do that, massive, massive advantage. And any team that can say that is probably a team that has stud tackles on both sides of the line. And so I think, you know, the Saints are kind of getting ready for that reality, is they want to be able to pass protect the way they did back when Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead were here.
You mentioned Micah Parsons. Surprisingly, they did a pretty good job against him last year.
Yeah, but if you look and say, well, how did they do a good job? It's because they had a tight end and a running back chipping him on every play.
Yeah.
He was like, okay, who's coming at me this time? It's one of six different people. And that's the thing. Like, yes, you know, you can do that. They also handled Myles Garrett very well. But what are you giving up to do that, right? Like, and in that game, it didn't matter because they scored. Like, that was the point where they were just scoring at will. But in a close game, suddenly your offense is incredibly limited because you have to help the pass rush. And so that's what you're trying to do when you bring in a Kelvin Banks. You are trying to set up a scenario that you can have a much, much simpler offensive line plan than what you've had to have with, you know, making up for some of the inadequacies that you've been dealing with.
From O-line, we're going to go talk about the D-line now. Saints' third-round pick, their first one. Vernon Broughton out of Texas, the defensive tackle. What, Shanley, think about that pick for the Saints?
I think I'm obligated for Vernon to be my favorite player because he's a Cy Ridge Ram in Houston, and my brother coached him in high school. So I know a lot about Vernon. Vernon came out as a defensive end, went to Texas, and the first thing I did my brother texted me right away and said, we got a Cy Ridge Ram that's a New Orleans Saint. And I said, is he tough? And he goes, oh, he's tough. You're going to love him. So I'm putting a lot of stock into my brother's high school evaluation of Vernon since he coached him. But, yes, when you talk about going from a 4-3 to a 3-4, you need those body types. You need those big bodies up front. Those guys are going to get double-teamed. They're going to have to two-gap. They're going to have to keep the linebackers clean. So I definitely like what they did. And you talk about Gotcha. You need those big body types because the run defense just was not good enough. Hasn't been good enough the last couple of years. And really, they lost a handful of games just based on how bad the run defense was. So I love the big bodies they're getting on the defensive line.
In his career with the in Texas, we had Broughton 69 tackles, 11 stops for loss, 6 sacks, 4 fumbles recovered, 3 pass breakups, and 2 forced fumbles. Productive. Pretty good production.
Yeah. No, and I mean, you know, you're just stacking big bodies, right? Like, it's hard to, you know, Vernon is one that I think when you're talking about, you know, we talked to the Sumer Sports Quinn McClain earlier, and it's like value, right? I think if you're trying to question value, that's a pick that a lot of people would look at because, you know, I don't think Vernon was the 71st prospect on a lot of boards. He's probably a lot lower than that. I think the Saints feel like, you know, I think when the Saints feel like they have a really good read on a player, they have good intel on a player, they don't have questions around a player, they are much more likely to go for that player. You know, and I think that's one of the things that people often overlook is, you know, fit, character, personality. Like, is he going to fit into that locker room? And teams are going to draft guys a lot higher when they feel like that's the case. And in this case, you have Bo Davis, who knows him very, very, very well,
right,
coaching that defensive line group. And I think, you know, when you talk about pounding the table, you talk about doing whatever. I don't know how vocal Bo Davis was about bringing Broughton in, but I'm sure he was highly supportive of the idea. And there's also a very funny clip we can play if we ever want to from Not Another Teen Movie because since it's already been brought in. So just saying, we can throw that in there.
Looking at the Saints' other third-round pick, I feel like this guy has generated a ton of post-draft buzz. All of a sudden, a lot of folks talking about safety. Jonas Sanker out of Virginia. Here's Scott Shanley.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's incredible. It's basically arena football without the arena, and it's fun, and it's a lot of people. You don't even need bleachers because everybody just stands around the rope and watches the game. Field's 80 yards long, it's narrower, probably 40 yards wide, but it's a fun game to play, and when you go to those small towns and grow up the way some of us guys do, it's what you do, and you don't know any different, but yeah, I think with Jonas, you watch his tape of Virginia, and I thought he closed fast, he tackled, he was physical. And when you look at, you know, obviously where Tyron is, just like Alvin in his, where he is in his career, you got to start building depth behind these guys. I like the Reed signing in the offseason. I think he's really going to help at the safety position. So, yeah, you got to start getting some of these young guys and start getting them to learn under these veterans while the veterans are there. And that's how you kind of pass the torch. So hopefully Jonas turns out to be a great safety, and he's definitely going to be a great special teams player his first year.
So the beginning of that clip, that's Scott talking about eight-man football because Jonas Sanger came up in the eight-man football circuit, which it's what it sounds like, eight-man football. The field's a little different in terms of size. The game, everyone's an eligible receiver. But Scott also came up playing eight-man football. He's like one of the goats of eight-man football. So it's just kind of fascinating. Like, you really don't see that very often. I've never watched a game of eight-man football. I wouldn't even know what it looks like other than some highlights that I've watched of Jonas and Scott as I was looking back at the Shanley tape. But no, it's you want kind of that volume tackling safety. You want that kind of small linebacker body. I'm curious if he can develop into an elite slot option. And I know, like, in Brandon Staley's defense, it's not a nickel corner, it's a star.
So same difference, though. Come on.
I'm curious. I think that's kind of the vision for him long term. It's not necessarily as a deep safety. It's that hybrid Derwin James-type player because he has the body type, and he can be more that box safety option.
Last year started all 12 games, 98 tackles, 2 sacks, 8.5 stops for loss, an interception, 4 pass breakups, 5 passes defensed, and as the Cajun Cannon would like to say, a thumper.
Yes, correct.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk, getting ready for LSU baseball. Delayed start, folks. Not a 6 o'clock first pitch. Now an 8 p.m. start. 7:30 pregame coverage right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. When we return, we'll get into our triple option feature after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, time to get into our triple option feature. We sound off on some of the day's top topics or things that interest us around the sports world. Guys, I'm going with our former LSU basketball coach over here and McNeese guy, Will Wade, who's now over at NC State and is already getting himself ingrained with the fans over there. They were going in and checking in on all their season ticket holders, and Will Wade on the phone, and here's a little taste of what he's talking to the fan base over there at NC State, the Wolfpack.
Teddy, hey, this is Will Wade from NC State Men's Basketball. How are you?
Get out of here.
What's up, man? Yo.
Yo.
It's Will Wade.
Get out of here.
I'm serious. I'm calling you. You're on the season ticket list. We got to get you to renew your season tickets on the lower sideline, man.
No, man.
Well, I'm serious. Huh?
No, dude. Who is this?
It's Will Wade.
All right, well, you sound like him. This is absurd.
It's me. I'm serious. It's me. I'm calling from Patrick in the ticket office's phone.
Dude, I'm so pumped that you're here. I'm so pumped, man.
We appreciate all your support and love to have you renew your season tickets and make sure you're in Lenovo ready to roll.
All right. Yep. Let's roll, man. Closed it.
All right. Let's get it done. I look forward to meeting you soon, brother.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you, man. Hopefully you settle into Raleigh, all right? We're all happy you're here. Really appreciate you coming up here, man. It's going to be awesome.
I appreciate you, Teddy. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Will. Howdy. Yeah, thanks, Coach.
Bye now.
Coach Will Wade, now the head coach over at NC State. Obviously, things didn't quite work out here at LSU because of the NCAA violations, but he led LSU to the NCAA tournament, guys, in 3 of the 5 years, including a trip to the Sweet 16. Then he went to McNeese and led the Cowboys to back-to-back NCAA tournament and appearances. Have no doubt Wade's going to have success in his new destination. Definitely wishing him the best, and it's almost like that one that got away for LSU. Unfortunately, the situation and what happened, things are a whole lot different in college basketball now, but to think of what Wade ended up getting fired for at LSU, knowing that it was going around college basketball, and just he ended up on the butt end of things, to say. Jeff, now going to go over to you for your triple option.
Yeah, so for once, I'm going to take this outside of the realm of New Orleans, and you know, the biggest bit of news that happened today, probably Greg Popovich stepping down as the Spurs head coach. He's going to transition into the team president role. Is Charlie behind me making angry faces because that's what he was going to say?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We should have communicated on this in advance. But no, yeah, I mean, Greg Popovich, probably the greatest NBA coach of all time. I mean,
it's shocking to see he was there starting 1996.
It's debatable, maybe, but I mean, you look at, you know, he was the coach of the year 3 times, 5 NBA championships. He was the NBA coach of the month 17 different times. It's the most in NBA history. And you know, I think, you know, he's an important guy. You want to keep him around the fan, the franchise, right? You know, it obviously completely different ends of the spectrum, but you know, Brad Stevens with the Celtics, had kind of like lost his steam for with that team, and I feel like made a similar decision of kind of moving up into the front office rather than continuing to coach the team on a daily basis. And you've seen what that team has done since. They've gone to the finals two different times. They won one of them with two different coaches, Ime Udoka and Joe Mazzulla. So, you know, there is some hope that he can kind of, you know, that team with Victor Wembanyama and all those star players can still get it done. Mitch Johnson, who was the Spurs assistant coach, basically head coach all year, is going to be their new head coach. So it's pretty consistent. And obviously an end of an era there. Like, the Spurs were just that team for so long. You're like, yeah, they're winning 55 games, and we'll see what they do in the playoffs. Like, you know, it's going to be weird to not see him out there.
Yeah, you wish Pop the best, and obviously good for the Spurs that... Yeah,
a lot of health issues, right? Like, right. He was dealing with a lot of health issues.
He's not stepping away from the team entirely, though.
Yeah, he's going to be in the front office and still going to be...
Still be involved with the Spurs organization. Like you said, you think of the San Antonio Spurs, obviously there's that great list of players that they've had, but steering the way has always been Popovich.
I kind of felt like he would have retired by now if they didn't land the number one pick at Victor Wembanyama. I feel like he just wanted to stick around to coach the, you know, the once in a generation player, and it just came like a couple years too late for him.
Charlie, have you gotten anything together that you're going to go coach Pop? But what you got for triple option?
No, Jeff went, you know, generic enough, so I'm sticking with Pop because I got some numbers about Greg Popovich, the winningest coach in NBA history, 5 NBA titles. This is what blows my mind. 18 straight 50-win seasons at the helm. In 29 years, he went 18 straight 50-win seasons. I remember how excited we were that the Pelicans won 49 games last year. I mean, this guy did 18. It's unbelievable. 3-time NBA Coach of the Year, 170 playoff wins. And this is an awesome stat that I saw from StatMuse. Greg Popovich has more playoff wins than the Hawks, Heat, Suns, Rockets, Bucks, Jazz, Cavs, Pacers, Trailblazers, Mavericks, Nuggets, Wizards, Kings, Nets, Clippers, Magic, Raptors, Grizzlies, Timberwolves, Hornets, and Pelicans. That is 21 NBA franchises.
I was about to say, so basically everyone but the Lakers and the Celtics and
that Greg Popovich has more playoff wins than 21 NBA franchises.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable career. And Jeff, to your point about he could be considered the greatest NBA coach of all time, I think there's a legitimate argument. Like, people will say Phil Jackson. Yes, I understand. You know, if you go back with Red Auerbach, sure, whatever. But, I mean, Greg Popovich, just the coach of a generation. He was unbelievable for 29 years in San Antonio.
And he never had the Kobe's or the Mike. Like, there's obviously some elite players, superstar players that went through the Spurs organization. But there's none like a Kobe tier or a LeBron tier. Like, he did it with a lot of elite players like Kawhi Leonard and Manu Ginobili, like Tim Duncan. No one that like you see on like all these highlight reels, but just really, really good basketball players.
Man, Tim Duncan's pretty damn good though.
Oh yeah, but like, do you ever like catch him on like, oh, the top 100 plays of the season? Right, it's a Tim Duncan bank shot from 14 feet away. You know?
The big fundamental.
Yeah. You don't make highlight reels of fundamental basketball, but you do win titles. You do win 50 games with fundamental basketball.
That is our wrap on our triple option feature, folks. We'll be right back on WWL. Well, folks, as we're wrapping up today's edition of Sports Talk, got word from the LSU Sports Radio Network. Due to inclement weather in College Station, tonight's game has been postponed and rescheduled as part of a doubleheader. That'll be beginning 2 p.m. tomorrow. Pre-game coverage right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app, 1:30. Saturday's first game will be followed by the second matchup. We'll start 1 hour after the first game is completed. We'll have all that for you on WWL LSU coverage. Of game one now will be 1:30 tomorrow. Keep it locked right here for more on WWL. Have a great night, everyone.